Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that you did come down in this hour with a shout, which is a message to prepare your people. We're so thankful, Father, that you gave us a prophetic ministry to reflect your divine will and your divine purpose, helping us to understand, Lord, our relationship with you. We're so thankful, Father, that you, the mighty God, have been unveiled before us in this hour. We're thankful for the teaching ministry which you gave us by the Holy Ghost to positionally place us to get us ready. And Father, we're thankful for the corner we've turned in understanding the relationship that you had with your son Jesus is the same relationship that you want with your church, with your people. Grant, Father, that we might come to that place of adoption. And Lord, that your spirit of adoption, which already is in us by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, might come to the full place of maturity, Father, that you see the reflection of your firstborn son in each and every one of us. This we ask humbly in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. This evening we'll be reviewing paragraphs, or actually sermons 47 through 55 from the series Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. And the first one we're going to review tonight is number 47, Christ Expressed in the Individual. Now here we looked at several paragraphs from paragraph 123 through paragraph 128 where Brother Branham explained this so perfectly. So I'm just going to I'll put it back up on the board so you can see for yourselves as we read. He said, so is Christ expressing himself in the individual. Whether he's intellectual or whether he don't know his ABCs. Half the apostles didn't know them. That's right. But they knew Christ. They never taken heed to what to Peter and John, knowing that they had been out of some seminary. They said that they had taken heed and noticed that they'd been with Christ when they healed the lame man, see, at the gate. They knew that they had been with Christ. The new birth is Christ and is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's the new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all of that group together where the revelation is perfectly in harmony? And God expressing it through his word by the same actions, the same things that he did, making the word manifest. Oh, if the church only knew its position, and it will one day. Then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. Now notice, you say, Brother Brown, but that ain't, oh yes it is. Yes, it is too. It is the truth. Now, we're looking at revelation as in manifestation of divine will or divine truth. Not revelation as in how educated I am in my mind concerning the word. How much word can I quote? How much theology do I possess? We're looking at a life that is manifested, the divine will of God manifested in you, the divine truth manifested in your life. You see? Now, I know we're getting to John 14:12, and I know my critics, what they would say, but let me just read to you what Brother Vail said himself on this very thought here that Brother Branham is expounding for us. Now, I want you to hear carefully how Brother Vail goes into John 14:12, and he ties that to the spirit of adoption. It is no mystery that in 2007 we begin honing in on the spirit of adoption. That's where we first began being attacked by people, saying, well, Brother Bell never preached that. Well, yes, he did. They just didn't go back far enough. He preached it. Brother Brown preached it many, many times. Then the attacks went to John 14:12 because you cannot have the spirit of adoption which without having John 14:12. Because John 14:12 is basically the life that you live, the spirit that you live in you, the spirit that has a preeminence in you, is expressing itself. And if it's the same spirit that dwelt in Jesus, it will express itself the same way that it expressed itself in you. That's why people thought so much of Brother Branham. That's why people, actually some people thought he was Jesus Christ, because there was so much Jesus Christ living in him. And Paul himself, the apostle, said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. But here's the secret. It's not me that's living. It's Christ that's living in me. And the life I'm now living in this body, in this flesh, I'm living by the faith, by the revelation of the Son of God. Amen. Now, Brother L. said from adoption number 2, preached in Macon, Georgia, 1972, he said, now, reading from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, just one verse at this time, the 15th verse at this time, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, in the first message on this subject, which was last night, we showed from the prophet's teaching that there would be a word-identified bride who would be able to manifest the very life of Christ at the end time. Is that not what we're preaching? Is that not what John 14:12 was all about? Quoting Brother Branham, there'll be a power come into the church, and now is coming in, that the Holy Spirit will so anoint the people, plural, so that they'll, plural, speak the word, and it, the word, will create itself like that or identical to what was spoken. We've seen it in part through Brother Branham's ministry with the squirrels, etc. But when the squeeze comes down, we'll see it within the bride. And he says, you see, when God said, let there be light, suddenly something didn't say, I think I'll have a little fun, let there be dark. No, it was light, see? Therefore, the word, which will be in the bride, will be a literal manifestation into creation of the same word by the same spirit that lies in the word. There will be literal creation. Now, that's what the prophet said. Do you agree with that, what he said? All right, fine. We believe it. Now, notice the language of the prophet. He said now, N-O-W, now, at this moment, it is coming into the church. That means only one thing. The potential is already in the bride of this hour, and it, the potential, will produce the manifestation in her of creation by spoken word. God is going to refill the bride with the Spirit. Therefore, if you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, if you have the same Spirit that was in Jesus in you, only you've got it in portion, he had it without measure. But the same Spirit will do the same thing. Therefore, if you have been born again, filled with the Spirit of God, the potential is already in you. Not the manifestation yet, but the potential. You understand the difference? He says, the potential is already... Then see what Brother Branham says. Brother Branham said, we've got a ministry coming that just excites exactly like the life of Christ. Now, that's what he told us, and that's what we believe. Now, Brother Vail used a word here, excites. And most of us would think, when using that word, that it gets you excited. You know, because excited is kind of the root from it. But the word excite means to not only cause an enthusiasm concerning the life of Christ, but to also cause an increase of activity surrounding this enthusiasm concerning the life of Christ. In other words, if you're very excited about something, your body's going to reflect it. Your expression, your whole expression, your manifestation, the life within you, it will manifest that excitement. And it'll produce. That's why when it says there remaineth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Well, faith is a revelation. And remember, revelation is manifestation of divine will or truth. So there is revelation. And that revelation produces an earnest expectation, which is hope. Hope maketh not ashamed. Hope is an excitement. It's exciting. It's something that produces in you an energy. And that energy then goes to work. It produces works. It produces the things. It produces the life. You see? It produces love. And we know that love is giving because God so loved the world, he gave. You see, always expressed that way. And that's what Brother Bram said. Eternal life is living for others. Well, then Brother Vail goes on to say, I was preaching one time in Chicago a couple years ago or three when Dr. Hoyer, who in my estimation is the greatest authority in the Hebrew and Greek living today because he can speak it with the exact emphasis, the exact facial expressions, and the exact demonstration by the hand. He is a very brilliant scholar, and at the end of the service he said, Brother Vail, I trust you will not think me to be a fanatic, but I would like to say something, and he sounded so apologetic, I wondered what in the world he was going to say. He said, please, 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 do not take this bad, he said. I said, what is it, Brother Hoyer? He said, Brother Vail, from a study of the Word of God, I believe the bride will have the creative word within her before she goes in the rapture. Before she goes in the rapture. I said, Brother, that's exactly what a vindicated prophet said by thus saith the Lord. There you are. Amen? What is that? John 14:12. Here is a brilliant theologian who knows exactly the hour, and if you heard him and you could meet him and talk with him, you would know that this is a giant intellect anointed by the Holy Ghost who has studied the Word of God until that's all that he knows and all that he lived. You mention a scripture, and he will quote you the Hebrew or the Greek, and then he'll raise his eyebrows. His face will change, and an expression will come upon him, and there will be literally, and he will literally begin to preach in that language and tell you everything that he knows, that it means. Excuse me. And he said, Brother Vail, I know that it is coming. So we see, according to the Word of God given to us by a vindicated prophet, that the creative word will be in the very bride at the end time. Now, this great capstone ministry of the bride is called the manifestation of the sons of God. That's the first thing they tried to label me. All right, or the adoption or the placing of sons. And to me, and I emphasize to me, it is also the manifestation of what Brother Branham called the third pole in the bride. So Brother Vail himself is telling us that the third pole and the manifestation of the sons of God and the adoption or the placing of sons is the same thing. It's the same thing. It's the creative power of God in the church right before the end time. I love it. Up until 1963, Brother Branham talked much of this manifestation, but after 62 and 63, he spoke of the pole, or the various poles, and he said there would be a third pole in the bride which would come into manifestation. Now, we have no details concerning it, but remember, it will be a creative word within the bride. Now, let us just think of the potential or the prime cause of this great manifestation. Now, I'm going to read that again because it's very interesting. It's kind of heady, so bear with me on this. But he said, now let us just think of the potential or the prime cause of this great manifestation. It is already in the bride, but it is evidently subdued. Now, it's in there, but it is subdued. See? But letting that power lie dormant, see, does not annul that the power is there. So it is that lack, it is that the lack of the manifestation does not annul the power. The power is there, but the manifestation is not there, or not here, because it is not yet time for it. Amen. Now, Brother Branham, God did that in Brother Branham as a prefigure of what's coming for the bride. I believe that with all my heart. I believe also he's shown me personally several times overseas where we spoke in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and great storms went away. I believe that's the same thing. It was done. I didn't ask to do that. I went like a coward over to the corner thinking, you know, what can I do? It's so loud. I can't hear nothing. The hailstones are so big and the rain's coming down and the sheets are going to lift right off this church. I had no idea what to do. I went to sit down and something spoke within me and said, what are you sitting for? Did not I send you? I said, Lord, yes, you did send me. He said, then, you know, basically act like a man. I mean, that's not what he told me, but he said, then take charge of the meeting. In other words, look, if I sent you, act like it. If God has called you to be the bride of Jesus Christ, literal Messiahs at the end time, act like it. Don't be wimpy. Don't let people just, you know, push you this way and that way. You be a Christ-like individual and don't let anybody take that from you. You see? So he goes on, it is evidently subdued. But letting that power lie dormant, see, does not annul that the power is there. So it is that the lack of the manifestation does not annul the power. The power is there, but the manifestation is not here because it is not time for it. Now, this is what you must understand. See, the bride is not without the prime cause or the cause to bring about the effect. It is just that God is not ready to produce the effect yet. See now, it is not time to show it forth. If you got the Holy Ghost, it's there. That's why we keep going over and over and over these things, because you learn by repetition. How could we come to the place of using it when we don't even know that we've got it? So we've got to understand first that what we have in order to use it. Amen? I mean, all you have to do is look at sports. You throw a kid a soccer ball and say, use it. Well, what do we do with it? So you play around, you show them, like you get a good instructor like Mr. Brian. Not me, but B-R-Y-A-N, a fellow from Jamaica, good instructor. Work on the fundamentals, work on the fundamentals, work on the fundamentals. You know what? The professional teams that are the best still work on the fundamentals. And we as Christians, Messiahettes, still must daily die to self and work on the fundamentals. And that is, what does it mean to be a Christian? Hallelujah. I like this stuff. This is what you must understand. See, the bride is not without the prime cause or the cause to bring about the effect. Why? Because we've got the Holy Ghost. It is just that God is not ready to produce the effect yet. That's why he said the bride will have thus saith the Lord. In other words, she'll get the go-ahead or she'll just keep still. Show me one prophet that went out before God told him to go out. If they did, they failed. They waited on thus saith the Lord, and they went. God said to Moses, speak to the rock. Yeah, he is a good example, because what did Moses do? He got so mad at the people that he hit the rock, and God said, for that, you're not going into Israel. You're not going over. God said to him, speak and go forward at the Red Sea. And what did he do? He spoke, and he had to put his foot into the water, because until he put his foot in the water, until Moses was so convinced that what he spoke was going to happen, when he put his foot in the water, then the water parted. Now, how many believe that you have the Holy Ghost? How many believe then that is the spirit of adoption? That is the spirit of adoption. The Holy Ghost is the spirit of adoption. So you've got it. Now, somewhere between the birth and the positional placing, you are right now. And I believe we're kind of very close to that positional placing. And when that positional placing comes is when the manifestation of the sons of God comes. That's when the third pole goes into effect. And that is right at the end when the squeeze comes down. So you know all about it. Keep it in your hearts. Be praying about it and asking God to help you to build your faith, so when it is needed, it will be there. Now, notice, he continues, notice our text in 15th verse. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have already received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, or our Father. We already have the spirit of adoption, the first age, the second age, the third age, the fourth age, the fifth age, and the sixth age. Every member in the body of Christ has already, whether they've gone to the dust or not, they have already received the potential, but not the manifestation. Now think about it. Six ages, all the way up, and we're in the seventh age. They've all had the potential. But notice. Now notice 19 to 23. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the unveiling of the sons of God. How are the sons of God unveiled? Is it because their flesh is so great? Uh-uh. How was Jesus Christ unveiled? Because what he did, what he said, the things that he did were what only God could do. In other words, the expression of the life that was within through that veil. And that's what all creation is waiting for, the expression of the God life that lays within you to be unveiled, to be manifested. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because creation shall also itself shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the liberty of the glory. The liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which already have the first fruits of the Spirit, which will make us like unto Christ, even to the very members in which we, it says, we are groaning. Even we groan within ourselves. We are waiting for the adoption. We are waiting for the placement. We are waiting for that time when God says, okay, now step forward and do it. Even though you got the very spirit of it, tell you what, haven't I got it all? Don't I possess it all? My brother and sister, you and I may possess everything that God in potential, but into manifestation we do not yet possess it. See? I'm sorry for those who believe and have said, now listen, I'll take this whole Bible and this whole Bible is mine. You are wrong. Only the part of the word, what's in here, is yours if it's yours for your day. In other words, Noah's revelation is not for you. God doesn't want us to build an ark, right? Moses' revelation for his day is not for you. He doesn't want us to rebel against the government and walk across a great body of water to deliverance. You see, Brother Branham puts it so beautifully. He said, Moses could not come preaching Noah's message. He couldn't do it. And Christ could not come preaching Moses' message. The law was until John, but see now, we looked forward to grace and truth by Jesus Christ. Now listen to what Brother Vail says next, because what he says next is anathema to many who claim to follow his ministry today. But where were they back in the 70s when he taught this stuff? So listen to what he says next. And the word for this day, what do you say? The word for this day is the revelation of the manifestation of the sons of God. That's the word for this day. That's what I've been preaching for the last 7 years and taking a lot of flack from that little circle because of it. Now, if we are not aware of the hour in which we live, then we cannot say we got the Holy Ghost, because he is to give to, he is given to teach us those things which have been given us of God. Oh, how blind the church is today that calls itself filled with the Holy Ghost. There you go, right there. The word for this day is the revelation of the manifestation of the sons of God. In other words, Brother Branham knew his calling was Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, 1 to 7. He knew that was specifically something God called him to do and perform. He stepped into that and God did the rest. Now God has called us to the manifestation of sons of God. He's called us to the spirit of adoption. He's called us to the adoption. He's called us to the being conformed to the image of the firstborn son. And the potential is there because he's given you the Holy Ghost to receive it first as revelation, then to materialize it in your flesh. Now, you think God is going to have a bride come forth in a rapture that has not manifested itself, that has not expressed itself, that's still sleeping? That's called the foolish virgin. So if it doesn't come soon, it will. I mean, if it hasn't come already, it will. In other words, we are at the threshold of seeing the great works of God in the church as Brother Branham looked for them to come. We already saw them in him, and that was a first fruit. But we will see it in the bride called the third pole. You see, why did he call it the third pole? Why did he change from all these things, talking about the adoption, talking about the manifestation of sons of God, and then all of a sudden he starts calling it the third pole? Why? Because God showed him the vision of the three poles. So he just typed it with the vision that he saw. That's all. Doesn't change it any. Then Brother Brown goes on to talk about Billy Graham's statement, where he said, if the Holy Ghost were gone today, 90% of the activities would still go on in the church. Then we pick up again with this thought as Brother Vail continues to explain. He says, now, we are waiting for the adoption. We're waiting. How many people do you know that are waiting for the adoption? How many people do you know that even know about the adoption, that are aware of the adoption, that have studied the scriptures that God says concerning? Listen, how do you get anything from God? You give God back his word. How are you going to get adoption? You give God back adoption word. You understand? I learned that principle, one of the very first things I learned from Brother Vail's ministry. He talked about a young guy, a young boy in a family of three boys in the house. He said he was the dullest in the mind of the three brothers. But this guy, after Brother Vail had preached on faith, this guy really received faith to get a good job. He went out and got a good job. But it was still, you know, he was still the dullest in the family. And the job he had was still just a beginning job. Well, he said within 3 months, he got an even better job. And he said a few months after that, he got a better job. And he said that boy ended up with the best job in the family. Now, he wasn't the smartest in the family, but by faith he went and he took. You see, faith is a revelation. It's something that's been revealed to you. He knew that was for him. You know, and in the office, and they say, you know, possession is 99% of the law. You know, if you want something, a part of the a certain thing that, you know, is being done and nobody wants to do it, you take it, it becomes yours. And the more of those you take on, the more you build up to the place where they want to promote you to something higher because you're doing all this work. Same thing with God. God said, Moses, speak and go forward. So Moses put his foot in the water and he spoke the word, and then God did the rest. Now, he said, now we are waiting for the adoption, and this tells us when it will take place. It takes place in resurrection season. Now, what is the resurrection season? It takes place over here in the 11th chapter of the book of Romans. Paul says in the 15th verse, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but the life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now notice, what Paul is telling us is this. The root is Christ, and the branches are the church. And if the root, or Christ, is holy, then the branch will have to be the same thing. And that is exactly John 14:12, where the literal life that was in Christ will have to be in us. And what it did in him, it must do in us, or it is not the same spirit. The life in the root is the same life in the branches. That is what Paul is telling us. And so if God did in William Branham what he did in Christ Jesus, then if Jesus was the first fruit and William Branham was the first fruit in the harvest season, then as a farmer knows, when the wheat is tested to see how much moisture it has in it, he knows by the sample, the first fruit sample, that the rest of the field is also ready. Now, it was potential in William Branham and it was manifested in William Branham. It is potential in us because the harvest is ready. And let me just say this. As the first fruit, you know, how many know about farming? You know that when you're getting ready for the harvest and you see it, you know, you wonder yourself, you say, well, you know, isn't everything ready? Well, what they do is they go out to the corn and they grab an ear from here and an ear from over here and an ear from over here. They take it to a lab and they measure how much water is in it. Why? Because the more water that's in it, the longer it's going to take to dry out. They can't store it if it's wet, if it's got a lot of moisture in it. It's got to be under 18% moisture in order for it to store without getting moldy. All right? So it's mature. It's called matured and ready. Don't we call something that's green, we call them kind of a rookie? You know, we call them immature when they're green. That's the same thing. It's not ready for harvest. But when the prophet was ready, because we saw the manifestation, we saw the potential, the manifestation, we saw the life that was so yielded to God, many people thought it was Jesus Christ. And you can't blame them for thinking that, but they thought contrary to Scripture. They didn't understand Scripture. But the fact of it is, the potential is in anyone who has the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now there's coming a time that we will... And it's resurrection season, as Brother Bell is explaining it here. We are getting so close to resurrection. We could be within 5 months. We could be within a year, year and a half. I don't know. Nobody knows but God. But we know one thing. We see all the signs, the birth pains and everything else this earth is going through. All the cataclysmic geopolitics, geo-religious, everything is just falling down. The dollar should go busted sometime this year, I imagine. You know, they've been propping it up by just printing more digits. But it's getting ready. We are at the time, Israel has been as a nation. And by 2018, I think, 48 to 18 is 70 years, they'll have been there one full generation. And we know that God said a generation would not pass before it all happens. So we're seeing it happening. And actually they began in 46. They began. That's when the angel came to Brother Branham. That's when Israel began to fight for their independence, and we see all that stuff happening. So we know it could be as close as 2016. We know that a generation will not pass. But notice what Paul is telling us. The root is Christ, the branches are the church, and if the church or Christ is holy, then the branches will also be the same thing. That is exactly John 14:12, where the literal life that was in Christ will have to be in us. And what it did in him, it must do in us, or it is not the same thing, not the same spirit. The life in the root is the same life in the branches. And that's what Paul is telling us. And so if God did in William Branham what he did in Jesus Christ, then if Jesus was the first fruit and William Branham was the first fruit in the harvest season, then as a farmer knows, when the wheat is tested to see how much moisture it has, he knows by the sample, the first fruit sample, that the rest of the field is also ready. And Brother Branham said in 1965, one of the last sermons he preached, it was the sixth from the end, he preached, God's only provided place of worship. He said, we are laying in the presence of the sun to ripen. He said, the church has come to the place where they're now beginning to understand these things I'm speaking here by the scripture. He said, but we're not ripe. In other words, we're too green. We got too much moisture. We're not ready for the harvest. So when are we going to be ready? He said, we've got to lay in the presence of the sun, the presence of God. We've got to lay in the presence of the sun to ripen. We're going to get into that a little bit more tomorrow. But just because you do not sample the entire harvest does not mean that what is in the sample is not in the rest of the field. And as Brother Branham explained about the new ministry, which he tied with the third pole, he said, now we see it manifested in a small way, but when the squeeze comes on, we will see it in the bride in a greater way. Now, from look away to Jesus, Brother Branham said, then when that time comes and the press comes to the place to where you're pressed out, then watch what I'm fixing to tell you in a few minutes. Watch the third pole then. It'll be absolutely to the totally lost, but it will be for the bride and the church. I notice how Brother Branham identifies the third pole with the greater works in John 14:12. As he says in his sermon, is this sign of the end, sir? He says, and you know the pyramid never was capped. He's talking about the capstone ministry. The headstone's yet to come. It's been rejected. Could it be, brethren, sisters? Or is this that third pole that he told me 3 or 4 years ago? The first pole, you remember what happened. I tried to explain it. He said, don't do that. The second pole, he said, don't try. And I pulled anyhow. You remember, all you remember, it's on the tape and everything. And then he said, now there's a third pole coming, but don't try to explain it. You see how I approach this tonight? I don't know how, but I feel duty bound to my church to say something. You draw your own conclusion. Now, will this be the mystery that would open up, that would bring Christ, bring a power to the church? See, we believe in repentance, being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We believe in receiving the Holy Ghost. We have signs, wonders, miracles, speaking in tongues, and the things that the early church had. You see, that's the works, not the greater works, but the works. And frankly, there's been more done right here than is wrote in the book of Acts in this one little group of people, this little bitty ministry of ours here. What about the world over? See, more than is wrote in the book of Acts, same kind, the raising of the dead. Remember, there's only about 3 people raised from the dead in Jesus Christ, and we have that on record. Doctors have recorded 5. The works that I do, more than this shall you do. I know the King James is greater, but you couldn't do any greater, but more of it. He was in one person then, he's in the whole church now. See, more than this shall you do, for I go unto my Father. If this is the third pole, then there's a great ministry lying ahead. So Brother Branham is asking the question, is John 14:12 the greater works, the third pole that's coming? I can't say. I don't know. Watch. Third pole. Let's stop on that for a moment. So Brother Branham is laying it out there for us to think about. Be praying about. Because I can show you 4 or 5 quotes where Brother Branham said the greatest works is to bring life. Impart life. Yeah, impart life. Now notice in getting back to what Brother Vail was saying, he adds, so layer by layer in 7 church ages, the church is coming up to the capstone itself until it fits so perfect in the last age. The 7th is literally identified with Christ himself. Now as bride accompanied, Paul saw this as many members. Ephesians the 4th chapter, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We are coming up into the very word itself. Then brothers and sisters, can't you see If we are coming up into the very Word itself, then creation must lie in the bride. Then Brother L quotes the scripture, Ephesians 4, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, it maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." And he continues saying, the whole body is coming up. Every single one of the first six church ages had the potential of adoption to the spirit of adoption, but only the seventh age has a potential plus the manifestation. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, I get so excited hearing this. The church itself did not have the Holy Spirit, which would bring them into the manifestation because the age was not yet. As God was bringing that word up, line by line, building up his church all the way to the top, the life was moving on, the church building up. Now, here's what I am trying to show you. This is a mortal church we're talking about. Then, this makes me understand that the manifestation of the sons of God will come before the resurrection. We are not dealing with a church that has gone on, but a church that is coming up. This is the same age, as Brother Branham said, the age of adoption is the age of restoration. As Paul said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That word did not apply to the first six ages, but to the seventh only, and not to all in the seventh age, but to only those at the end of the age. The last day's true church will be a super church, a super race. They will be so much like him, he's talking about Christ, they will be in his very image. They will be the very manifestation of the living God. Then Brother Bell quotes from the spoken word's original seed. He says, "Then from a little group of the true seed of the word, God will present Christ, a beloved bride, a virgin to his word, or of his word. And through them and by them will be fulfilled all that has been promised for his word in the virgin, who knows no man-made creeds or dogmas, the word of promise in him, or in himself, like it was in Mary, God himself made manifest. He will act himself by his own word of promise, so to fulfill all that has been written of him." Now, let me just stop there for just a minute, because remember, Colossians tells us it is God working in you to will and to do, both to will and to do. So who actually does the third pole? You or God? It's God. But he uses your body. He uses your soul and your spirit first, and then your body to speak it or to say it, or whatever he has you to do with it. You understand? He had Moses to speak it, and then he had Moses to step into it in order for the water to open. You see? So never forget, it's God. It's the sovereignty of God. As he did when he came from the virgin womb, type of the spirit womb now, so will the virgin now accept his word, "Be it unto me as thou hast said." Though it was said by an angel, while as yet was the written word, Isaiah 9 and 6, they will love him, love his, and will have his potentials, for he is their head, and they are his subjects, subject to his head. Headship of Christ was his. Notice, he says they have his potentials. So Brother Vail is only explaining what he already is reading here from what Brother Branham said. We have his potentials. Notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything. Now here's the key. Jesus never did anything until he seen of the Father, or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ. See John 5:19. So will the bride, and he shows her his word of life. He shows her, and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Now, I got a great big hallelujah, and here is the secret. The word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word, and she does it in his name. She has, thus saith the Lord, then it is germatized. So the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves his purpose. They do only his will. Amen. I'll believe that. No one can persuade them different. They have, thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. In other words, we don't have our own thoughts about it. I can't tell you right now, I can't say, okay, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, because I have no clue what God is going to do. But God has a clue. And so one day when God lets us into his, what he wants done, and we see it by revelation, we'll also see it by revelation, because it'll manifest. No one can persuade them any different. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. Then they will do the works of God, for it is himself in them, continuing his word to fulfill as he did complete in his day, all things when he was here. He did not complete all when he was here, for it was not yet time. Then Brother Bell says, now, how many can swallow that one and not choke on it? And then he continues to read from the spoken words of the original seed. He said, now, let us stand like Joshua and Caleb. Now let us stand like Joshua and Caleb as we see the promised land coming in sight. It's near the time to be given. Joshua in Hebrew means savior and represents the promised end time leader to take the church over. Caleb represents the true believer who stayed with Joshua. God started Israel as a virgin with his word, but they wanted something different. So did the last day church. And we've seen today, there's so many people that cannot take it anymore. They're leaving. They never had to begin with. Notice how God did not move Israel until his own appointed time. That is the key to all of this. Now listen, this is going to mean something. Joshua waited for that time. No matter how much people might have said, God gave us the land, the promise, let us go now and take it. They might have said, Joshua, you lost your commission. You're all washed up. Why are you not doing something? You used to do Now, you used to know, thus saith the Lord, in a moment, and what was the will of God, but this wise God sent prophet knew the promise of God, but also knew to wait for that promise. A clear-cut decision from God for his time. These parables. Now watch. And when the time come, God gave it to Joshua, who had stayed with him by the word, for he could not trust others. He could trust him. So will it repeat. Now remember, Brother Branham explained to us how the visions work. He said he saw in the vision that he was to lay hands on this little child and the child would be made whole. Well, so he went to the house at about 8 in the morning. And he said, but the child, he said he went and prayed for the child and nothing happened. And then he realized his rebuke. He didn't follow the vision. Then he went and sat down on the table. I mean, sat down on a couch or something, or a chair, and he waited to see the vision act itself out. Finally, a man comes in. A man puts his hat on the chair. There was supposed to be a woman sitting here. The hat was on the chair, and the man was sitting there. Well, then the woman got up. He couldn't say nothing yet. Finally, the woman came back, and she sat down where he saw her in the vision. The hat was on the chair. The man was sitting right there. Then he got up. He said, I sprang to my feet, ran over, laid hands on the child, and said, thus saith the Lord, the child is healed. And then God instantly healed the child. So if you get ahead of the vision, you won't see the manifestation. You understand? The potential's there. The word has been spoken. It's in us. Hallelujah. I'm excited about that. It's in us. But we have to be God-oriented enough, God-focused enough to wait for him, for the vision to happen. Now, in getting back to Christ, is the mystery God revealed? Brother Brown said in paragraph 125, did you notice Paul never knew Jesus physically? Paul never knew him. The only way that Paul knew him was by revelation, by vision. Is that right? Paul only knew Jesus by the revelation. Jesus, like Peter did, Peter had seen him in his flesh, but he didn't know him by his flesh, because Jesus said so. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, even my own life didn't reveal it to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed the thing to you, that he is the word of God. And upon this rock I'll build my church. Peter didn't know him by flesh. And that's what Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 5:16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him so no more. Therefore, if we know Christ not after the flesh, then it has to be by spirit. What Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:11, he said, for what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So we do not know Christ after the flesh, but by the spiritual discernment, or the revelation, is how we must know him, just like Paul, just like Peter, whom Jesus said, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, next, back to Christ as Mystery God Revealed, paragraph 126, Brother Bram said, Men walked and handled him and everything else. Paul had something greater than any of the apostles did. See? They said, Well, I've got more revelation than you, Paul, because, you know, I walked with him. I went fishing with him one day. I heard him talk. He set me in the boat one time, and after he told me, Well, let's go over here and fish in this place, and we'll get more fish. And we did it, see? See, we've seen him do things. But Paul saw him after he was dead, buried, rose again, and expressed himself in the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel. Knowing Paul, being a Jew, would have never called that Lord unless he'd have seen the expression that he was back the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, Paul, in other words, I'm the same God today that I was yesterday. Here I am in the same light, the same pillar of fire that Moses talked to in the burning bush. No wonder he could separate the law from grace over in the book of Hebrews. He met that same pillar of fire. He said, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. Now, Paul wasn't persecuting the body of Jesus, the flesh of Jesus, but that same spirit of Jesus that was now in the believers, Paul had been persecuting. And here he is today in the same manner, by the same pillar of fire, expressing himself and vindicating himself the same, revealing the mystery of God that's been hid since the foundation of the world. See it? Paul only knew him by revelation. Peter knew him by revelation. He walked with him, talked with him. Therefore, you can set this word. Now, I've just said that he was a word. Now, a scholar can sit down and read that word till he can just tie your mind up in knots in any way he wants, because he's smart, he's brilliant. Get a Catholic priest, or not so much as that, but a real good trained theologian of the Bible, brother, a Baptist or Presbyterian or something, he'll make you think that you don't know nothing. See, when it comes to talk, why? See, because he has known him in the flesh, the word. Now, let's begin reading the paragraph, and then 128. But the only way that you're saved is by knowing him by revelation. Now, again, we have been trained in our minds as English-speaking people to think of the word revelation as having to do with the mind. It has nothing to do with the mind. Nothing to do with the mind. It is the manifestation of divine will and divine truth. It is the manifestation. 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 It is not intellect. It's actually seeing God at work. As Brother Branham said, God interprets his word by doing what? Bringing it to pass. The bringing it to pass is the manifestation. All right. Now, I want to stop right here for a moment because he's talking about revelation, and in order to understand what he's talking about, we must know what revelation is, because when you say the word revealed or revelation, most people will stop at that first definition of the word and think revelation is something that somehow you know it. In your mind, you just know it, and that is not what it means at all. Then we went on to explain the definition of revelation, which means to manifestation of divine truth or divine will. So we see it is not intellect, but something that has unfolded to you in such a way that you actually see manifestation of divine will or truth. Notice it is not just knowing the divine will or knowing the divine truth as though it comes via a mental awareness, but it tells us that revelation is a manifestation of divine will or truth. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us how that he received the revelation of Jesus Christ, and it was not by going to some seminary or hearing from some other preachers like Peter and them, but he says in Ephesians 3:3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And we know that revelation came as a manifestation of divine will or truth. When he appeared or manifested himself to Paul in the pillar of fire and knocked him from his high horse. That's how God revealed who was on the scene. That's how God revealed who Paul was persecuting. That's how God revealed who was in Jesus, a man. That he had been God in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. It was a manifestation. It wasn't now Paul was riding his horse and somehow all of a sudden, oh, I got this great idea. As people get in the shower and they say, oh, I got this great idea. It wasn't a great idea. God knocked him off his horse. There was a manifestation of divine truth that took place. We saw a manifestation of divine truth when that light hung over William Branham, when that cloud came down. When the light came down on the Jeffersonville, on the Ohio River, that was a manifestation of divine truth. And this led us to Christ is a mystery, number 48. We called expressed life, not intellectual. Where we looked at a visible expression of divine will or truth. For knowledge is one thing, but how you get that knowledge is what we call revelation. Not the knowledge itself is revelation, but how you get that knowledge is what is so important for us to understand. Some would say that the knowledge is the knowing, but the act of coming to that knowing is what we call revelation. When something you do not know is made known to you through some form of expression or manifestation that comes from God. So the process of coming to this knowledge and then knowing as you are known, so to speak, because there is something about this knowledge that is not mental, it is experiential. You know not because you know, but you know because you have experienced the knowing or the knowledge that you now possess. And this experiential knowing is what is so vital to our new birth. Because let's face it, if we all know, we've all known people who could talk the word correctly and who could even quote the prophet perfectly, but then as time passed by, they somehow go off the deep end and leave the message altogether, and we are seeing this on an almost daily basis today. Now, why would Paul warn us in Hebrews 6 if there were not going to be people who fit that warning? Hebrews 6 and 4, for it is impossible for those who were once for all enlightened. Enlightened. These people were once for all enlightened. This is mental. Mental. Now they saw the signs and they came to the sign, but they heard mental. They were all once for all enlightened. And yet they have tasted of the heavenly gift. That's the Holy Spirit. They tasted of it. Baptized in their flesh. And were made partakers, companions of the Holy Ghost. What's that mean? They saw the pillar of fire. They actually saw, hey, the pillar of fire is here. But if they shall fall away, it's impossible for them to renew again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which bear thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the very end. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. So it is not the knowing itself that is revelation. The knowing is just knowing. But the act of coming to that knowledge, that's a different story. Now, you got it? That's the real test. And Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood never taught this to you, but my Father expressed it, and you caught the expression, and you recognized the expression, and you acted upon the expression. In other words, you heard, you recognized, and you acted upon the Word of God. That's a sermon Brother Rand preached. Because the problem is that when men turn to the intellectual, they must turn away from the expression of life and the manifestation of divine truth, and thus they die because they are absorbed in self. It's how much can I know? How much do I know? How much do I know more than the next guy? And they've rejected the manifestation or the literal interpretation of the word. So we found Brother Branham telling us in 133, he said, Caleb and Joshua, the only two that stood out and said, were able to take it. They said, look at the word of God. Every one of them died in the wilderness. And Jesus said they were eternally gone. Right. After he'd had showed his blessings and power in their age, notice, he showed manifestation. He manifested his blessing. He manifested his power in their age, like Luther, Wesley, so forth. He said, our fathers eat manna in the wilderness. And he said, and they're every one dead. That's eternally separated from God. Their carcass perished in the wilderness. See, they're dead. I'm the bread of life that came down out of came from God out of heaven. They couldn't see it. They just couldn't see it. All right? Church has long forgotten it. They accepted intellectual message. Notice, they accepted the intellectual message. Intellectuals, membership, knowledge, instead of the revelation of the truth of the word. Now look here, they say today, do you believe that God commissioned us to go into all the world, heal the sick, and preach the gospel, and cast out devils? Oh yes, I suppose that's all right. But you see, our church doesn't teach it that way. Notice Brother Branham nails down their attitude in the fact that they have turned down the word of God, the way in which God said it, and they have gone to an intellectual conception of the message where they can explain away the things that they don't seem to fit their understanding or their lifestyle that they've chosen to live. He said, they accepted an intellectual message. Notice, he calls it the message, yet he says that they have made it an intellectual conception. He says, they accepted intellectuals. And Brother Branham taught us that an intellectual is one who is trained to bypass the word. In other words, they've got their thinking about it. Now, from his sermon on Certain Sound, he says, they bypass the word by their dogmas, their creeds today. What's a creed? What's a dogma? It's doctrine. It's their doctrine. They bypass the word by their doctrine, by their dogma, their creed today, because they're afraid to meet the issue. They're afraid when God says, go speak to that storm and command it to stop. And they say, well, if I do that, how do I know it's going to happen? Well, who's talking to you? Do you really believe it's God speaking to you, or do you believe it's just a hunch? Now listen. They're afraid to step out by faith. They're afraid to step in the water like Moses. They can talk it all day long. It'll never happen. It's still potentials. But when God says do and you don't do, you don't believe God, do you? And that's exactly what he says. He says they bypass the word by their dogmas, their creeds today, because they're afraid to meet the issue. And they bypass it and base the people upon intellectual education instead of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the manifestation of his being. Amen. Brother Branham said, God called me to pray for the sick. He said, if I laid hands on 1,000 and 1,000 weren't healed, I'd still continue to lay hands on the sick because he told me to do it. Right? He said, if the rhino's charging and I put 1,000, well, he didn't say rhino, but you know, he said, if I put 1,000 bullets in and I shoot and 1,000 bullets don't work, he said, I'm going to put that 1,001 in. You see, if Edison would have said, well, you know what, it didn't work 100 times, so it didn't work 1,000 times, it's not going to work. I mean, it's a bad concept. On the 10,000th try, it worked. And they found the right element to make the light bulb. You understand, if you believe in something, a little failure here and there doesn't stop you. You keep pressing forward. Then he says they accepted membership instead of the word, and they have accepted knowledge instead of the revelation of the truth of the word. So, so what have they got? A powerless gospel, that's what they've got. From hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the word, Brother Branham said, and today, man can stand in the pulpit with such intellectual and speech-making and education until they can explain the power of the Holy Ghost away from the Bible. They can explain divine healing away. They can explain speaking in tongues and interpretation. They can explain the baptism of the Holy Ghost to another day. And I've seen them do it. And so they will twist the words of other preachers and even the prophet himself to get the people to not believe that John 14:12 is for every believer, when the prophet himself said it's for everyone and every believer. Because if the people ever get a personal relationship to their Heavenly Father like Jesus had, how then are they going to be able to control the people and usurp authority over them? That's why they cannot persuade me that I've been wrong concerning John 14:12, because I answer to God and not to them. And I have witnessed John 14:12 too many times to count, and no man can persuade me otherwise what God has shown me via his manifestation of his divine will and divine truth. And that brings us to Christ's mystery of God revealed, number 51. The character of Christ expressed is John 14:12. And Christ is the mystery, number 52, the revelation of Christ is the life expressed. In other words, we looked at the key to understanding the manifestation of the God life, because every seed must bring forth after his kind. That is the law of life. Therefore, the same Spirit will express itself by doing the same works or the same things. And it is, and it must be expressed, as Brother Vail so plainly said earlier in this sermon. Notice he said, just because you have not seen it yet does not mean it does not exist. Just because you have not seen it in your life doesn't mean it's not going to be seen in your life. Do you understand? Now, I'm not saying everybody in here is going to pole vault 15 feet. I'm not talking about that. But what I'm talking about is what God tells you to do. It's not you doing it anyway. It's him doing it. He's just asking for you to be the feet or the hands or the mouth or the ears or whatever portion of the body he wishes to use for that thing which God wishes to do. And God is sovereign. He can use a jackass, which he did to Balaam. Balaam's donkey spoke in tongues. Did you know that? He spoke in English, or not English. He spoke in whatever language it was that Balaam understood. And he, and the Bible says that the foolish prophet, you know, was warned by a jackass, by a mule or whatever he was, a donkey. Yeah, God can use rocks to cry out. God can use whatever he wants to, because he's God. Now, Brother Bram used the word potentials. He said we have the potentials now, but we are simply waiting for the right time in which he said is God's time to use it. Jesus said in John 5:36, but I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And again, John 10:25, Jesus answering them said, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. So the works that you do bear witness of who you are and who sent you. Therefore, if you have the same Spirit in you that was in Jesus, then you will do the same things that he did. That is only common sense, as Brother Branham said in his sermon, Mary's Belief. He said, so then, if it don't do the same works, then it isn't the same Holy Ghost. But if it does the same works, then it is the Holy Ghost, the same one. Amen. Do you believe that? And from world is falling apart. 1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, and believed on in the world, and received up into glory. See? Now, that was God with us. God over us, God with us. Now, it's God in us. All that God was, he poured into Christ, and all that Christ was, he poured into the church. At that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. So, it's been God all along, you see. His same works. The church is ordained to carry on his works with the same Spirit. You couldn't carry on the same works without the same Spirit. That's right. The same Spirit carries on the works. So if you have the Holy Ghost, John 14:12 is for you. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, then I would pray to get the Holy Ghost so that John 14:12 could be for you. Now, from Be Not Afraid, he said, but this is my ministry, that he give me a gift, and that gift is to shake the church, to bring it to a recognition of the coming of Christ, the return of the Spirit of God in the church. It's on you, the same Spirit. It might not be the same gift, but the same Spirit. There's different manifestations, but the same Spirit all the time. The same Holy Ghost you got is the same Holy Ghost I got, the same Holy Ghost we all got. It's all the children of God. You believe you're a child of God, and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, then the very nature of God is in you. The potential is already there. It's just waiting on him to say what to do. Didn't the Apostle Paul tell us that to every man is given a measure of faith, same faith, just a different measure? Notice Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And did not the same apostle tell us exactly that the same thing that William Branham just told us that we see in 1 Corinthians 12:4, where Paul said, now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So, the same electricity that's going through the fan is the same electricity that's going through the light bulb. Now, some of these light bulbs are LED light bulbs, and they use like maybe 13 watts. Some of these light bulbs in here are 60-watt light bulbs, and some are 40-watt light bulbs. I don't know what these are up here. But they're using a different measure, but it's the same electricity. You understand? The same electricity that's going into this little microphone, going into these two microphones, is operating everything you see in here, operating the screen. It's the same electricity. So in the church, God has difference of administrations, different gifts. The sign of Messiah was not for every one of us to do. That was the sign of a prophet. But we certainly have, John 14:12, all the other things. The works that I do, shall you do also. Healing the sick, raising the dead, changing nature. All those things are there for the sons of God. And the whole creation is waiting for them to be displayed. Hallelujah. So Brother Bram said, it's on you, the same Spirit. It might not be the same gift, but the same Spirit. There's different manifestations, but the same Spirit all the time. The same Holy Ghost you got is the same Holy Ghost I got. The same Holy Ghost we all got. It's all the children of God. And Paul said it's just different administrations and gifts and manifestations or works of Christ that are being done in the body through the same God who is working all in all. And don't forget, he also said in Philippians 2:13 in closing, for it is God which worketh in you. Both to will, to get you to will, because sometimes he lights a fire under your feet, and to do. And that's exactly what Jesus said in John 5:19-30, for the Son can do of himself nothing. But whatsoever the Father doeth, the Son doeth likewise. In other words, when the Father shows you what he wants done, he's the one doing it in vision or in it could be a dream, it could be vision, it could be right out of the Bible. You see it in the Bible, and the circumstance comes up, and you do it what you just read in the Bible. You step into that Bible verse, you step into the vision, you step into the dream, whatever. He said the Son can do nothing until the Father shows him first. Then whatever the Father does, the Son steps into it, and he does exactly what he saw the Father do. That's what we're looking at. Its potentials is here. I'm looking forward to the day that'll shut the mouths of the critics, when the children of God will stand in the conformity of the image of the firstborn Son. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, not just because we're looking for that day to shut the mouths of the critics like you shut the mouth of the lions in the den with Daniel, but Father, we're looking because we're looking to that day that you have confidence in our spirit, that it will not do things for self-gratification, but it will only do things because we want to please you. That is our desire. And so, Father, we ask that you would now bless this service as we turn the service over to the communion. And we ask your blessings upon this word. May it go forth. May we meditate upon it in our hearts. And may we come into the realization and manifestation of what words were spoken. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The brothers would bring forth the elements at this time, and those that have the duty to get the water ready, if you would do that. And we'll open our Bibles to John chapter 13.